I guess it's more of a spirit-born teacher than it is a spirit-born message. In 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. And we are in the Old Covenant Hebrew Scriptures tonight. So as it's been our custom for some time, I tell you that whenever we encounter the words Lord or God written entirely in capital letters in the Old Testament of the New King James Version, I shall translate that for you as we read it in the course of reading as Yahweh, because that is the translator's way of letting us know that at those places, at that juncture in the Hebrew text, we do find God's self-designation, His name, Yahweh. And we're involved in an ongoing study of our Lord Jesus Christ by means of the book of Proverbs, and these days in Proverbs chapter 31, that section that begins with verse 10 until the end of the chapter and the end of the book on the what is translated for you here as the virtuous wife, or more literally, the woman or wife of ability, the woman of chayil, capacity, capability, ability. And we've not gotten so far into this passage that we can't read what has come before it. We will be in verse 17 today. And so begin with me at verse 10. And the last verse I read, as we read 10 through 17, will be our text. Here's our context and its text then. Beginning at verse 10. Who can find a, we'll say, woman of ability? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household, and a portion for her maidservants. You remember last week we said, literally, girls, and you need to understand that as you will. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it from her prophet. She plants a vineyard, and here's our text for today. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She girds herself with strength and it strengthens her arms. Girds. Chager in Hebrew means to gird. Do you know what girding is? I'm just realizing right now I failed to bring a prop that I was supposed to remember to bring, but you'll understand it just as well. You just won't see it. But to gird, that's a word that we usually don't use anymore. A lot of words that we usually don't use anymore. We encounter them in the Scripture often. And not only in the Scripture are we encountering words that we tend not to use anymore, but one of the things about my teaching is you encounter words that aren't necessarily in the Scripture that few people use. But girds, I guess since we're dealing with women, this is appropriate, right? Do you guys ever, don't answer me, do you guys ever wear these things anymore, girdles? My mom always used to wear a girdle. And why do you wear it? Well, how do you do that? How do you put this thing on? It's like you strap this thing around the waist and tuck and, you know, put some pressure there so it'll make you look not as heavy as you are. And so girdle, why do you call that a girdle? Because it goes around the waist. And when you gird, why it's called a girdle is because girding is putting something around the waist. So I'm girded today, right? I've got a belt on. You gird yourself with a belt of some kind. It goes, it's just made for the waist. That's it. She girds, and it says herself. You're missing something in your NKJV that the KJV has in it. It says, she girds her loins with strength. And you're not seeing loins at all in the NKJV here. But it is there. In the Hebrew, the word loins is mothen. It is the waist or small of the back, found only in plural, and so we translate loins. You know what the small of your back is, right? It's this curvature right down here, right where this device is on me, right at the waist in the back. That's Strong's definition. The loins, according to Wilson, I like this one, Kohler and Baumgartner say the lumbar region. Hips and small of the back. There's some muscles that are right there. Right at the back of the waist and the small of the back that bodybuilders refer to as the lumbars. And so that's why I like that one. The lumbar region. The spinal erectors are the scientific name for those, the anatomical name for those muscles. That is, when you're bent over, all right, when you're like this, it's this place on the spine that makes you erect. So they're called spinal erectors. And that's the loins, right back here. And in some cases, some uses all the way around the waist. When you see the word loins, usually, also a word that we don't use much anymore, except if you're talking about pieces of meat in the meat department, a pork loin or something like that. It's that, I guess that's that area of the pig that they get it from. Anyway, she girds her loins with strength. Now what does that mean? She's making her loins strong, but if you're trying to work these spinal erectors now that you know as they're called, how do you make them strong? You don't do it by really belting anything. So it is figurative, right? You can't take strength. You can't hold it. And if you wanted to imagine that you could, you don't strap it on. You don't get strong that way. So, I'm going to tell you that this is not talking about physical strength, because it's a metaphor. In the New Testament, Peter will say, gird up the loins of your mind. And the idea is when you had people who used to wear, men and women alike, used to wear robes, and you can't run well in that. So they would pull up the robe and they'd unbelt, pull up the robe and belt the excess cloth under that belt so that I'm still wearing my robe, but I've got it belted here and my legs are free to move. I can run now. So gird up the loins, like get ready for action here. Get ready to run. A running metaphor in the scripture is, it's that the business, the activity that you carry out for God. And so in the category of your mind, that is, get ready for action, for God that takes place in the mind. And that is the majority of our service starts in the mind. The majority of our warfare, our service is toward God. Our warfare is toward the filthy spirit called Satan. That majority of our warfare is taking place in the mind. So you're girding up, not literally, you're not belting your mind. You're belting, and your mind doesn't have loins, so it's not something literal. If you were to try to get these spinal erectors strong, if this were literal, you wouldn't do it by belting it. You couldn't belt strength on. You'd do it by doing good mornings or deadlifts or something that mean nothing to most of you, or hyperextends. We do some kind of exercise, weighted, that builds strength into the spinal erectors. That's obviously not, I think it's obvious. I don't want to operate in the obvious fallacy. But I'm going to, taking pains to show you this isn't literal, right? It's not literal physical. That's what I should say. It's not physical. It's not physical strength we're talking about. It's not physical loins that we're talking about. Because you don't gird it on, and I seriously doubt that any women at the time that Proverbs was written knew anything about good mornings, hyperextensions, or deadlifts. The only way I know to build strength literally, physically, into that region. We're talking about she builds strength in the inner person, in the inner woman. We're going to talk about how that's done, and we're not going to talk about it like, you know, a how-to book that you could buy at your local Christian bookstore. We're going to talk about it like, what does the Scripture say about how you do that? So, that's coming up. But get this now, she is mentally strong. She is volitionally strong. That means in her thinking and in her decisions and her constitution, her ability to choose to carry out those decisions, she's very resolute. So she girds her loins with strength. And the B part of our verse, she strengthens her arms. Now you might say, this one's literal. Because she's got work that she does around the house, she's got work that, I don't know why this became, in the ancient world, I don't know why it was women's work to draw and carry water. That is hard. That's heavy. That's exhausting. That takes some strength. And I don't know why that was delegated or relegated to women. But it seems to have been so. So when she does that, like the woman at the well in John 4, this is heavy stuff. We're probably talking about her literal arms here. No, can't line up there either. Though I could understand that, it might be understandable. I have to sign down the other way. This is why. Strengthens here, this Hebrew word is amatz. And listen to its definition. First, as soon as it's defined, to be alert. So my arms aren't alert, right? I mean, it's like, that's another constitutional soul issue that is a psychic phenomenon. Boy, that sounded bad. It's a soul issue. It is a soulical matter. It is something of the spirit. to be alert. So to be alert, and then it says, this is Strong's definition, physically, okay, so this could be physical, and then in parentheses, on foot. That is, if you're going to apply this word to the physical, it's always applied to the feet, not the arms. And then mentally, encourage. So I've got two options, mentally or feet. And arms here isn't either one of them. Arms is a physical thing that's got to stand for something. One physical thing isn't going to stand for the other physical thing when you could just say feet. But arms could stand for this courage. And many times in the Scripture, I'm just going to like sort of refer you to this. Have you not read multiplied instances of the arm or arms being spoken about somebody's ability to act? It says in Isaiah that God looked for somebody who would stand in the gap here, and that God was one thing, looking for righteousness in the earth, and he couldn't find any, so he said, so my own arm wrought salvation. Now, he didn't do it with his arm. You know, he doesn't have an arm in that sense until incarnation, where he had two. But the point is, God is speaking, my own ability to act, the strength called the arm. I did this. Again in Isaiah. Isaiah actually speaks about this a number of times. He says, is my arm shortened that it cannot save? Again, save, was a big arm reach down out of heaven and pull you out of trouble? That's not what can't be what we're talking about. I've never seen that happen. The Bible never records that as happening. God could certainly do that if he wanted to, but he's never evidently wanted to do that. Thus, we're forced to say that God's arm working salvation is his ability to save operating in that strength that he has to do it. So the fact that she strengthens her arms, not literal here, and the definitions are giving us more reason to believe that this is not something physical. All right, let's go to Wilson's definition of amatz. Again, to be alert, to act firm. In other words, resolute, determined, undaunted. To be strong in, now these are, this isn't Wilson. When I say strong, resolute, undaunted, that's me. I'm kind of commenting on what he said. Let me go back to what he said. Swift-footed. That's if you're going to apply this physically, it relates to feet again. Of activity and alertness of mind. Oh, here he does sound like me. A firm and undaunted spirit. So you're not really talking about physical strength here. She may be very weak. That's not the point. And then Kohler and Baumgartner, I like saying that, Kohler and Baumgartner, they put it like this, to be strong, be brave and strong. And then they say some other things, and then they get to different forms that this may take in the Hebrew, and then they say PL, that is, if this is in the PL form, strengthen, let grow strong, make strong, and the reason I cite that is because it is in the PL form here. PL is a PL intensified form. Not all of the time does it mean that, but the majority of the time, if you take a verb and you put it in this PL form, it's not just strengthen, but it's really strengthen. Like you intensely strengthen something, somebody, yourself. In this case, it would be this woman doing it to herself. All right, let's look at, so not physical. Okay, not physical. Not talking about physical strength here. Let's look at its usage. I'll make a one point here. This word isn't talking about physical strength, but look at the lengths we're going to make this one point. Let's go to turn a number of places with me in the scripture. Not all the places that this word is used, but some that will be indicative of what it is we're actually talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 2 is the first place that we ever see it mentioned. Deuteronomy 2:30. Moses is recounting some of their history, some of what has gone on during those 40 years in the wilderness. As he does that, he gets to Sihon. When they encountered Sihon, king of Heshbon, he said, "But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through." Why didn't he let us pass through? "For Yahweh your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand as this day." Does that sound like the God you know? Well, if no, then you don't really know the right God, I guess. God does that. God says, "I want this guy and his country to be destroyed. So I'm going to make it happen that he goes against all sense and goes to attack you, the people that everybody knows were the objects of love manifested by the miracles against Egypt. He's going to go against all reason because I'm going to deliver him over." Now, the word here that is amatz, that's translating amatz, is two words. You see, God hardened his heart and made his heart obstinate. Made obstinate. That's this word. So what is this strength about? This strength is about resolution. You resolve to do something, and I mean, come proverbial hell or high water, nothing's going to stop it. Those people, sometimes if it's a neutral thing, I suppose, but is it towards something good or towards something evil, who make up their mind and there's no stopping them? It's a kind of stubbornness. Now, it's good to be stubborn about good. It's good to say, "I'm open, I'm humble to be corrected, but if you don't correct me with Scripture, the way spiritual correction has to come, you're not going to dissuade me from this course of action that I believe to be biblical. Made up my mind, I made a choice, I made a decision, an act of the will, volition. And I'm carrying this out." This man is not doing that in relation to a good thing. And God's actually acting upon him to make that happen. But what I want to show you is that the end result is the same. He's on a track, and he's not going to leave it. His heart is what is called made obstinate, and that's amatz, or strengthened. Also in Deuteronomy, now you see that this is let's try to find another word for it. This is a stick-to-itiveness. This is an endurance. This is a perseverance. This is a steadfastness. This is a strength of determination, is what amatz is talking about. Look again with me at Deuteronomy 31. Now we're going to be talking about Joshua, and it's about a good thing here. 31:6. Moses is to have to install Joshua as the leader of Israel under the Lord after him, because Moses is going to check out by means of death. And so he is telling, or he is to tell, Joshua, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for Yahweh your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong, that's not our word, and of good courage, that's our word, amat. So we've got a word, another word for strength. And have this, be of good courage. You can see in this verse that it is the opposite of fear, isn't it? Maybe that's the reason why they translate it, be of good courage, because then he says, you shall not fear them. So I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to be afraid when I do it. And that's called amatz. So it is volitional determination without fear. At least as the context of the where we're seeing this used is indicating for us. Again in Deuteronomy 31, and we're going to go through these rather quickly because they all deal with the same thing. They're either Moses being told to tell this to Joshua, or it's Moses telling this to Joshua, or it's God telling this to Joshua personally without any mediator. So Deuteronomy 31:7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. Of good courage, amat. And for you must go with this people to the land which Yahweh has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Why must he be of amat? Here translated, good courage. Why? For, or because, reason following, you must go with this people to the land which Yahweh swore to their fathers to give them. In other words, there is something that you have to do. This thing that you have to do requires a certain mental and emotional fortitude to do it. This isn't for babies. This isn't for wimps. This isn't for whiners. This is for somebody who is characterized by a mat. There's a goal in mind. There's something there that is a divine intention that has to be met. Now go to Joshua with me. These are not it's not even close to all the time that you find a mat in the Bible. But these are some of the more telling ones as far as helping us get a handle on what it actually means. Joshua 1, begin at verse 6. God speaking here to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, amat. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Watch this one. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. The word courageous, amat. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Here we see it. It's in keeping the Word of God. There's a certain amat, we might call it. There's a certain gut that you've got to have to keep the Word of God in every situation, no matter what. There's a certain intestinal fortitude. There is a certain manliness. There's a certain, you know, raw power of will in serving God that you need to, when encountered with those things that will resist or challenge your obedience to the Word of God, you're going to go the Word of God way anyway, no matter what. Look at 1:9. Have I not commanded you? In other words, given who told you to do this, there's really no reason why you shouldn't do this on a number of different fronts and directions. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, Amat. Do not be afraid. There again we see it is the opposite of fear. Nor be dismayed. That is, don't be discouraged or disheartened, like maybe I can't do this. For Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. And then in 1:18, whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Be amatz, that is, be making yourself this kind of strength. Another place, Isaiah 35 and verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 35, 3 and 4. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. They are to do this with the feeble knees. They are to, again, not literal, right? These are, they're to strengthen, bind up those knees, rectify something that is wrong. It's feeble, and it needs to be empowered. Ruth, who was called a woman of Chayil, not Amat, the word we're dealing with, but Chayil, the kind of woman that we're talking about, that caps our list, it titles this section in 3:10. Who can find an Isha of Chayil? She was called having Amat. Ruth 1:18. This time we've translated Ruth, so I can give this to you from my own translation. This is when Naomi is trying to dissuade Ruth from going with her. And she says, go back to your gods. This is a wonderful believer. Go back to your gods. Go back to your family. Go back to your mother and father. Go back to your land. And I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go back to, Bethlehem. And they both, Orpah and Ruth, that are hear this when they were originally determined to stay with Naomi. Upon saying that, upon Ruth's words, Orpah kisses Ruth. The implication is goodbye. And she goes back. Then Ruth says, behold, hineh, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people. Follow her too. I mean, do I still have sons in my womb that they could be husbands for you? If even I had hope to be married and I was to be married tonight, and I was to conceive tonight, would you wait until they grew up that they might become your husbands? So go back with Orpah, do like she did, and Ruth refuses to leave her. And so it says, and she saw, that is, Naomi saw, that she, Ruth, was intensely strengthening herself. This is Amat. To go with her, so she ceased to speak to her. Turn with me to Proverbs 24. This is now, we are ready to answer the question, how does she do this? How does this woman of Chayil, woman of ability, how does she strengthen her loins? How does she strengthen Amat her arms? How does she do that? First of all, let me say this is part of what makes her a woman of Chayil, ability. Because if you have talent, or if you have skill, or if you know how to do something, but every time there's an obstacle, you quit, then you don't really have, you might as well not have that ability. We've got something that we are convinced that God wants done, or you are made aware on an individual level, God wants this done, this is the will of God. And, okay, so we set out to do that corporately, church maybe, or individually, personally, and a given woman, alright? If all we have to do is throw up some resistance to you and you quit, it doesn't matter, you have all of the chayil in the world, all the ability gone. You might as well not, because it's not going to get done. How committed are you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Life will test it, and we'll see. It is measured by what it takes to make you quit. And you may not quit very easily. But something can make you quit. I'm not saying that's true of everybody. You ought to be the kind of people that you can't quit serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what Satan throws at you. I don't care how bad the trial. I don't care how intense the distress is. It is superfluous to talk about the degree of pain that you feel. Go on with him and go on just undeterred. That's how we should function as believers. I'm not talking about carnal stubbornness now. I'm not talking about this person is bullheaded and they get it into their head that they're going to do something for God, and God closes all the doors and they just won't accept no for an answer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about someone who's not humble enough to be corrected, to be able to see it was good, maybe even God says that it's good for somebody to do that, for people to do that, but that's not for you to do. I'm not saying that someone is not open to correction, but what I am talking about is this ought to be obvious. I will not even try to use something that you would do. I'll just apply it to me. And that way it's, you can be completely objective about it. 23 years ago now, Matthew reminded me of it. 23 years ago, I started pastoring here. As of a couple days ago. What's today? The 22nd? 2 days ago. It was 23 years. In that 23 years, there have been many things that are going to test. Are you going to go on with this thing? Are you going to go through with this little pastorate thing you're talking about? If it's not one thing, it can be another. But whatever it is that makes you quit, that's the measure, that's the level of the ability, of the dedication that you had to God in that area. So, maybe there's something else in the future. I don't think so, but I don't act like I know myself the way God knows me. Let's say there is. Let's say there's some unimagined thing to me that would make me buckle and bail and jump ship and say, this is enough. Well then, that's the degree of intensity right there. That's the thing. You got past this hurdle. You got past the financial hurdle. You got past the personal attack hurdle. You got past the betrayal hurdle. But whatever that thing is, we'll call it hurdle X. If hurdle X makes me quit, then that's the thing. That's it right there. And I may have not, I might as well not have any chayil, any ability beyond X, beyond the X quotient. Joab was loyal to David through that whole Absalom mess. But when the next mess, the other brother starts with an A, is escaping me now. Adonijah, thank you. Just because Joab succeeds in the Absalom rebellion doesn't mean he doesn't go along with the Adonijah rebellion. He does. Job has more chayil and more gebura and more amatz than most people do. Especially wimpy American Christians. I always take pot shots at American Christians, and I'll tell you why. It's because we live in America. Alright? I'm not pastoring in Zaire. I'm not pastoring in Luxembourg somewhere. If so, I'd be taking pot shots at Zairean, or however you make that an adjective, or Luxembourgian believers in whatever the issues were there that attack continuance in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I mean, American believers are the most wimpy whiners I've ever seen in my life. Just babies. And I don't mean babies like they don't have teaching. That too. But I mean just constitutionally takes nothing to make you stop. Let's not be that. Let's be the kind of despised American believers that the wimpy whiners look at and call cultic or weird or fanatic or whatever. But it's just being biblical. It's just scriptural Christianity. It's just radical scriptural living. Job, in one day, loses all of his wealth, all of his family except his wife. Seven sons, three daughters. One day, he loses all of his servants that he has. All of his employees are shot. Now he's like saying, I don't have the stuff, the camels, the donkeys, to make money. I don't have the servants. I don't have the employees to kind of reboot my business with, and I don't have the motivation because I lost all of my sons and daughters in one fell swoop. And I mean like not even a speed bump in the road for Job. Just states one of the, you know, send chills up my spine verses all the time. Yahweh gives, Yahweh takes away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. And he moves on and does not miss a beat. He does not, in anything that he said, he does not accuse God at all. His wife's doing a very good job of that for the two of them. And you want to say, my kids are more important to me than anything, or my money is more important to me than anything, or whatever it is, you want to say that your God's more important to you than anything, but that's what we're talking about. I'm talking about what is it when that tests, is your God really more important to you than anything? We'll see. If I strip all your kids from you, if I kill all your kids in one day, we'll see. If I strip you of all your money, are you just very comfortable and you can say, oh, nothing's more important to me than God because you're comfortable. If I strip all that comfort away, we'll see if that's really true. Job has no problem with this. Any of these things. Then the second trial, his health. He caves in. He says at one point, because he feels he's being done such an injustice, and he's blaspheming God. He says, oh, that my words were written down! And I think, yeah, when it's all said and done, now it's all over, and all your words are written down, he's probably saying, oh, that none of my words were ever written down. Because from chapter 3 to chapter 31, oh, you got it's mixed up there with Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad, but Job is not saying much of anything right, correct, all through that time. And God's going to come down and blast him as he stands in front of him in a visible tornado with language, an articulate tornado is standing in front of him. And what I'm saying is, loss of kids, loss of employees, loss of possessions, loss of wealth, all in the same day, does not affect Job at all. Looks like Job's got, you know, a match. Looks like he's got chayil. Yeah, until you hit his health. That's the thing that took him out. That's the thing that did it. What is that for you? Well, before, if you could think, I think it would be this. Then deal decisively with that thing. So that if that happens, you never go down. Change your mind, make a change of thinking choice called repentance, poorly translated. Change your mind, change your thinking about how you value that thing and deal with it. So to be a woman or a man of chayil, you have to be unstoppable. Because as long, well, it might take Satan a while, but one of these days he's going to get around to, after listening to the things you say and thinking about what he hasn't tried yet, and if he gets the permission, he's going to throw that your way, and you're going to be down for the count. You're going to be out. You're going to be out of the game. So this woman then, you see what Max is? You see what she's doing as she makes herself strong in the PL? She's building staying power into her life. She's making it so, you know that example I've given you in the past? You take this superhero Iron Man, and just if you've ever seen that movie, I have seen the movie. You just walk out and they're just firing bullets and all kinds of things, just bing, 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 and he's just walking. Like, he's not even being affected, not even being fazed by this, because he isn't. And I'm saying that's the Christian, that's the way, that's what we're wanting you, the kind of strength that you have. Whatever you throw at me is not going to cause any backward motion. There's not going to be any retrogression. There will be no backsliding. There will be no slowing down. We're in this for the long haul, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Give us your best. Do your worst. Give me your best shot. Satan, I'm not going down. I used to love this. It's not this way anymore on a number of counts, but I used to love it because I used to do back when lifting wasn't, you know, a popular thing, and just weirdos did it, and I did it, and I used to do squats, you know, and when you put weight on a bar on your back and you go down as deeply as you can, and you come up with that. I mean, this kind of activity right here. And then I used to love to play football, and they couldn't get me down because they can't make my legs buckle. And I just, like, I think, oh, I love this. There's five guys on me trying to get me on the ground. They can't do it because of squats. Now, today, you can take me out in a second, in a heartbeat, because I hate squats and I never do them. But the thing is, this, you can't get me down. Pile on. You can't get me down. This, we can't take this person out. What will make this person fall? That comment that I've given you in the past when we dealt with this, when Evander Holyfield was it Matthew? He was in his prime. And George Foreman came back when in his 40s. And the culture that we live in today thinks that if you're in your 40s, it's like being in your 90s. You're just about good as dead. And I like George. George is the hero of everybody over 40. I mean, who's just like, go in there. He's the oldest world heavyweight champion. I think is 45 or something like that. And he came in, and he was losing, and he lost to Evander Holyfield. But Evander, afterwards, they interviewed him, because Evander is smacking, is just punching this guy, punching George, who pastors the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ somewhere down in the South. Very similar name. And that's another reason I like George. And I like Evander for that reason, too. He's a believer, too. But anyway, let me get off of this real fast, lest Russ come up and say something to me. But, you know, and I saw this clip, and George is, you know, just doing what he always does, like this, and Evander is just smashing him in his face, just over and over, and it's like, you can't even tell, there's not even any recoil or impact or anything. George just keeps, and he just keeps, bam, 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 look like something out of a Rocky movie. It's not even realistic. And when it's all over, Evander was interviewed, and he said, George came in here with something I didn't know he had. He had heart. Well, he's got a max for our purposes today. He's got nothing stopping me. How many rounds are there in this fight? 12. Well, that's how many I'll be here. I don't care if you put bricks under your gloves and smash me with all of the power of the universe. I'm here for 12 rounds. How long are you going to live? You don't know. I don't know. How long am I going to live? I don't know. I think really long. How long? Well, that's how long you need to stay in this fight. That's how long. What do you have to deal with? What's the individually answer in your mind? What is the hardest thing that you have to deal with? The thing that makes you discouraged. The thing that dares you to stand up against, the thing that might feel like this would be it, that would make me want to quit more than anything else. What is the hardest thing in your life? What do you deal with? That thing, you need to say, if that thing is with me for the rest of my life, and I live until I'm 90, I'm not changing my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Master. He is my God. I will serve Him this way forever. Okay, now, we've got a picture of what it is, right? All that talk that I've just been doing for about 45 minutes now has explained this concept. Try to kind of materialize the conceptual amat and like, yeah, I've got a grasp of that now. All right. That Iron Man picture, you know, I'm coming out of here and you're just shooting at me, machine guns are firing, bing, 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 and just, I'm going where I'm going. I want you, if you would, if you even know that picture of Iron Man, I want you to picture a female Iron Man. Picture a female frame. Picture somebody maybe shorter, I don't know. Picture a female frame in that Iron Man armor. That's what we're talking about. This is part of the makeup. Forget, you know, easy breezy cover girl. Forget that kind of makeup. We're talking about the kind of makeup. This is the makeup of the woman of Chayil. And picture her walking out and getting bullets and taking arms and take everything is coming at her. She's not stopping. You are not stopping this Iron Woman. Now, when I'd explain that, you want to jump back to verse 10 with me and say, who can find a woman who is like that? Who can find that Iron Woman that you're talking about? Well, God knows where they are. You can be that Iron Woman, but I still have to tell you how, right? I still I've been promising I'll tell you how she strengthens herself. I've had you already turn to Proverbs chapter 24. In Proverbs chapter 24 is our answer. Verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Now here you have the word strong and you have the word strength. Which one is amat? Neither one. It is the word increases. So we've got three roughly synonymous words for strength. The word increases, remember that Kohler and Baumgartner told us that when this is in the PL form, that it means to grow strong or make strong. It's to act upon someone, even if it's yourself, to infuse strength into that thing or being. Who increases, or in other words, who empowers, if we could give it a different, a same family of words, same idea of words, note, read it again with me, 24:5, a wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases, that's our word, amat, PL, he does that in strength, okay? Does that to strength. So let's translate increases, empowers, and or causes maybe, or strengthens maybe, might be the strengthens strength, or empowers strength, or makes strength mighty. How is it done? What does this verse say causes all math action to happen? It's knowledge, right? It's knowledge. A wise man increases that. Wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge does the amat activity, does the strengthening of power, so it's knowledge. We are talking in a spiritual realm. So we're talking about spiritual knowledge. We're not talking about the more you know about geology, the stronger you'll be. We're not talking about the more you know about trigonometry, the stronger... We're talking about the more you know about divine knowledge, about scripture truth, the more wisdom, the more understanding we're talking about, the more scriptural intake you have going on, the stronger you get as you receive it. Think of it like this, and this is the Christocentric connection. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. You take pieces of that Word of God, that is, you take verses, you take concepts, you take principles out of this, the Scripture, you are getting facets of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are gaining knowledge of the One who is the Word. That person who is the Word is being, as Galatians will refer to it, formed in you again. So this person that could take crucifixion while being abandoned by the Father. That kind of en masse. And thank you. I can refer to this now, like if you've, which I used to not be able to do. If you've ever seen this movie, The Passion of the Christ, that is what it was like. Except you've got to extend the time that you would view that movie over to about 9, 10, 12 hours. And that's how long it took. Crucifixion itself took 6 hours, but that beating was long before that. Being beaten by temple guards in the high priest's palace courtyard and being pummeled, being punched before that. The scriptures say that one group slapped him open hand, the other group punched him closed fist. So just take the Passion of the Christ, extend it to about 10 hours, and say, all of that without any divine enablement, with no help, because God had abandoned him. God had forsaken. The Father had pulled away and said, your sin. The kind of en masse that can go through that and never flinch. Oh, he probably screamed. I don't mean physically, but I'm saying never flinch from his purpose, brazen, four-headed Lord Jesus Christ, set like a flint, that kind of strength. If you're getting bits of that person over time and you're receiving them in a grace embrace, category by category, point by point, teaching by teaching, book by book, scripture by scripture, verse by verse, you're getting that on a regular diet of the person who is revealed in the book, the Word of God itself. That person who's got that kind of en masse ability, that's what you're turning into, even if you don't realize it. That is how you increase the strength of your arms, ladies. Because we're dealing with this virtuous woman, that is what she does. Both the girding of the loins and the strengthening of the arms are relative to the inner woman. Now, let me apply this. And please do not do what you could. Don't say, there he goes. He's on a woman-hating bender again. He's saying things about women. Listen, I'm going to be very realistic with you. That means... No, let me start. I'm going to still say it, but I'm going to start from another direction. If every time you told me something that was, oh, this is negative, or, oh, I don't want to hear this. If every time you told me that, my response was to break out in tears and get very emotional and flustered, I don't know what to do. You would say, I don't know if I want to tell him anything like this anymore because, I mean, I know he's supposed to be a pastor. I don't want to say anything against him, but he's not very strong. And you would be right. Now, let's not have a double standard here. This woman isn't a weepy woman who breaks down in tears whenever anything goes wrong. This woman takes it, absorbs it, thinks objectively what should be the scriptural response here, and relates to verses in her mind as to what will be her response to this negative situation. This woman can take a lot. This woman does not fall apart easily. This person does not break down. They frankly don't get upset because of selfishness. You can't be selfish and be amatz and chayil. Because selfishness is the generator of so much of the fallout that happens in the more emotional makeup of women. I think it's realism to say that I think if you're a woman, you'll say, I definitely agree with that. I think if you're a man and you dealt with women, you'll say, I agree with that too. I think we can all agree, unless you're inexperienced kids here, that women tend to be more emotional in that they tend to trust the feelings that are shot at them. And then, since emotions aren't thoughts, they generate a lot of thoughts, but emotions are feelings. They aren't thoughts. Emotions isn't the mind. If you allow emotions to take the place of the mind, in other words, if you let your feelings do your thinking for you, you fall apart into a million pieces. You just shatter when this kind of stuff happens. We're talking about one verse tonight. We're talking about one quality of this woman of ability. She's not hard. She's not callous. She's not uncaring. She's not stone. But she is, as far as life's approach negatively, she is tough. Who can find a virtuous woman? It's not this one thing. It's kind of the collective that we're looking at that the question is asked about. Would you be, ladies, would you be, this is my exhortation, we're close. Would you be the kind of Word of God committed woman who says, I'm getting this scripture like there's no tomorrow. I'm reading it all day, every day, whenever I have a spare moment. I'm attending the teaching of this Word every time the doors are open. I'm listening to teaching tapes, if you're a dinosaur like me, CDs, if you're up to date. I'm listening to that in the car when it's playing. I'm listening to that in the morning when I'm getting dressed or when I'm in the bathroom or when I'm doing whatever I'm doing. When I'm putting on my Iron Woman armor, I am listening to doctrine going on. I'm like Bruce here, who's never separated from his earphones because listening to doctrine all day everywhere he walks. I am Scripture Lady. Now, I'm not stupid. I'm not taking everything that calls itself Scripture. I'm not going on the internet and just going, just sucking in everything. It doesn't take anything. It takes no kind of qualifications to get on the internet. I'm on the internet, right? I mean, you could go, and I'm not saying I'm the guy you can't listen to, but I'm saying I know nothing about getting on the internet, right? I know nothing about that contraption, the computer. I don't deal with it. But other people could put me on. Other people could get. I don't just swallow anything. I don't believe everything that is presented to me as Christian, but if I'm Scripture Lady, man, I am going for doctrine like gangbusters. I am wanting scriptural teaching like it's going out of style. And as I do it, I'm getting stronger and stronger as I go. Now, that's not a normal woman, is it? That's not the... You just know hundreds of women like that, right? If you're a man, this is my exhortation for you. If I wax KJV, quit ye like men. Or act like men. In 1 Corinthians 16, that is, don't act like the women who aren't the Iron Women. Don't act like your average woman. God's indictment against Nineveh in Nahum. God's indictment against Babylon in the prophets was, Your men in your midst are women. That is, they're all afraid, and they're all emotional, and they're all falling apart because the day of Yahweh has come upon them. And it doesn't matter how strong they are. You take the most gargantuan, strongest man in the world contest winner or something. You take that guy, that guy's a woman, went up against God. It's like there's no difference between those two. Just, that was easy to do that to that woman. That just as easy to do that to that man. If you're God. But men, don't be women. Don't be womanish. Don't be of a woman's spirit that is the natural woman's spirit. The supernatural woman, the Iron Woman, the woman of Kahil, who does the Amatz thing. The man and the woman are exactly alike there. Because the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, written down in the Scripture, isn't any more powerful in a man's life than it is in a woman's life. Because they're not going by natural strength. And since that's the case, I say to you that this woman, when Peter refers to them as the weaker vessel, since our strength is Scripture strength. Our strength is Bible power. Our strength is Jesus' might. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. in that regard, we're not talking about the woman as the weaker vessel in that respect. We're talking about the woman is physically weaker. And so men are said to live with them in honor as fellow heirs of the grace of life rather than emotional and or physical bullies because they're the stronger. Take in this word, be in it all the time, grow stronger, be strengthened, be encouraged. The one having ears to be hearing, let him or her be hearing.